Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast.
In quotes.
In quotes, in quotes, of course, always. I realize that no one can tell that I did air quotes. I'm Sarah Levine here, as always, with Casey Balsham.
Hey guys.
Sorry, I pointed to you as you were yawning.
Full on yawn moment.
Casey's very excited to be here.
I'm so excited. Well, I've been on auntie duty with the baby, so like I've been just like sleeping in the same bed as my sister, and that baby wakes up like at 5 a.m., which is not an hour I've ever seen. I've never seen
except when you've been like stayed up through the night.
Yeah, I've only seen it on that end, which even at that point, it's like, am I seeing it? You know, is it real?
Are you conscious, like awake? Yeah.
You've only seen it in the back of an Uber being like, where are my eyelashes?
Oh my God, literally.
Yeah. I've only been like, am I still dressed like Cruella de Vil? Holy shit. And Danny's here.
I'm
here. Folklore's out, guys. Hope we're streaming it. Hope we're crying. That's all I've been doing. And we're feeling it.
We are feeling it. That's it. Danny wanted this to be a full-on Taylor Swift episode.
Yeah, he was nervous. He was nervous he might not be able to focus.
Well, I hope you guys know, like, there's, like, my eye is still darting at the lyrics, just, like, decoding them. Because that, Swifties are the original, well, not the original, but, like, they're conspiracy theorists in themselves.
Oh, for sure.
And her whole thing is, like, dropping Easter eggs. Like, her whole video,
Her Easter eggs are, like, Taylor Swift is about as subtle as, like, a flashing neon sign. She'll write a song called Dear John and be like, ooh, I wonder who this is about. And put, like, cross poems in the lyrics, and it's like, all right.
But you know what does make, I do feel like BTS fans and Taylor Swift fans can come together to cure COVID, so I am trusting them with that. I feel like that's where the vaccine will eventually come from.
That, okay. Or I think they could come together to like fix the election. I could see happening for sure.
Let's get on the ground and do that.
Let's, and then a hashtag, and then
it's immobilize.
Yes. So we have a lot of updates. I think this is fun. I like our little hodgepodge situation that we've got going on now.
I like it too.
So we have two important updates, and one is a case that, like, depending on how it pans out, I think we should maybe cover in an episode.
Right. Do like a full blown.
Maybe
one.
In 2 years when the Netflix doc comes out, if we're still doing this podcast.
We got scented a bunch, like a lot of
we
people
got scented
like,
a bunch.
Listen, this and is I in your backyard.
Like it's definitely a big deal, like among New Yorkers, because it happened in the Lower East Side. But this tech CEO, Fahim Saleh, and he was the CEO of Gokada, which is like a Nigerian motorbike ride hailing company. I'm kind of imagining it sort of like the Rebel scooters, but I guess sort of.
I feel that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
He was found dead and dismembered in his apartment on July 14th in the Lower East Side. His apartment, fun fact, was $2.2 million. So, wow. This was serious, like, don't fuck with cats vibes.
Yeah, it was. I remember
so just, similar.
Yeah, I remember waking up and seeing this headline and being like, wait, what happened? Like,
yeah.
Like
right.
This is another avenue happening. Yeah.
So upsetting. His assistant, Tyrese Haspel, was allegedly seen in surveillance footage buying an electric saw and cleaning supplies, which were then found near the body. And then wasn't he also seen like following him into the building?
Yeah, he was seen on the surveillance camera going into the building and then sneaking out another entrance because Fahim's sister was coming over to his apartment.
Yeah, so authorities have said the reason basically was that the assistant had embezzled $100,000 from the company and was on a repayment plan to return the money. I guess he just didn't want to pay it back anymore. Not sure. He's pleaded not guilty, of course. Mm-hmm. And basically we'll just kind of keep an eye on this situation that is developing. Very sad, very, very gruesome and scary.
So terrifying. And what's so creepy too is that they even saw the assistant using his Fahim's credit cards after he was dead to like buy balloons and buy things like that. So it's also A, the paper trail is really stacking against the assistant, and B, it's just so, it's one of those ones that, like, crawls on you because it's someone that he trusted and then also in his apartment. It's very weird.
And it seems like, you know, he was going to kind of forgive him for embezzling. He was like, listen, like, if times are tough, like, we'll figure this out. Like, it seemed like he was going to kind of, you know, work with him on it. But also, like, balloons is just such an odd choice. It's like, oh, I just cut off some legs. I guess I'll go to my niece's birthday party. Like, what? I'm just unaware of why on earth, what situation would you feel comfortable going to in which balloons were required?
I also didn't know people still got balloons. I thought this kind of like came and went because they're not fun. They're not easy to carry. So that's going to just be a breaker for me.
Well, you know, it seems like the only balloons people get now are just giant letters or the giant numbers, which I like.
Those are fun.
Although they never do what you want them to do. Like, have you ever had them at a party? You're like, what does that say?
And it's always,
wait,
it's always,
what number is
I
that?
Twist it around and what is that? All in the wrong order.
Totally.
Yeah, the three is always a B. Yeah.
Yeah. What does that say? True. Three I, E I? What is that? Yeah. Like, truly, like at every baby shower, I'm like, I mean, you could have just, you didn't, we didn't.
No one needed
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye and you guys keep sending us updates on that. And of course, we have another little update for you. This obviously is also still developing, but I just read in something that our girl Britney Spears, you know, she was supposed to have a hearing on July 22nd. So this was where we were confused. I think the hearing was on July 22nd, but then the decision is made on August 22nd, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. So there's about a month, so they were going to hear stuff from people in her life.
I think it was basically that her, like, at whatever the last trial was, they had said this version of the conservatorship can go up to August 22nd. So we just kind of assumed that was when they would have the trial.
Reevaluation.
Or the hearing. But I guess they had it a month in advance. But yeah.
Just I think this was just month. Like, yeah, I think it's just the evaluation. Because there were things that said July 22nd and August 22nd. Yeah. So, but I know that July 22nd, they were supposed to do, the judge and people were supposed to do a Zoom call, and it was crashed by, I think, some Free Britney people. And so the judge asked them to get off the call and blah, 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 blah. And essentially people would not do that. So it was postponed.
I don't know how was it?
Because that's, you're like, if you really want to help Britney, then you shouldn't sabotage her court hearing.
Yeah.
And also, and like, this is, wasn't it password protected? Like, I don't know how they got in this far.
You'd think it would. Yeah, this is just something that I saw on one thing, but obviously we haven't seen any updates on it. Although her brother, Brian, who has been like Brian with a Y, by the way, he has been, I feel like it makes a difference.
It really does.
It really does.
Yeah, it changes everything.
If you know a Brian with an I and you know a Brian with a Y, you know they're different. You fucking
you know it.
So her brother, who like really has not spoken out much, but I think she's pretty close with her brother. I think he speaks with her a decent amount. But he went on a podcast called As Not Seen on TV, and he spoke out about it. He said that she's kind of always wanted to get out of it and that it's very frustrating to have. And he also, there is kind of something that he said that is leading people to believe that maybe some restrictions have been lifted, because he said something along the lines of, it's going to be an adjustment for sure, because, you know, under the conservatorship, Britney's not allowed to drive, and her brother made comments about what a bad driver she is and how that's going to be a whole new, like, he's like, seriously, she's a terrible driver. So if she starts doing that, like, so doing that again would be a thing. And then Danny, you said that the part that you read also said that they don't see the kids much.
Yeah, they said that it was more so when she was doing the Vegas residency. And I wonder if this is why she kept on wanting to do Vegas residencies. I mean, I'm sure they pushed her to do them, but I guess that's where KFED, Kevin Federline, is based out of. And since he has the majority custody of the kids, they would be able to see them more when they were in Vegas and she was working. So I don't know if it was a thing like, oh, that's like a benefit of her doing her job or just because of that.
Right.
But now with them, I mean, A, lockdown with pandemic, but B, just like with that not happening, they're really not seeing the kids as much, which is a bummer for her. Because I mean, like, she loves those boys.
So wait, let's see. This says, Vulture said the latest meeting scheduled for this week did not occur because people not legally involved in Britney's conservatorship stayed on the Zoom call for over 2 hours.
Come on, people.
Leading the judge to postpone the hearing. As such, Britney will remain in her conservatorship for the foreseeable future. That was 12 hours ago per Vulture. So protesters crashed. Yeah, postponed due to Zoom bombing. Yeah, you're right. Like, what the hell?
I know, that's a really, yeah.
Like, do we know when the new hearing is?
It's not saying it here, and I'm sure smart, that they're not going to be, yeah, they wouldn't post it, because clearly, it. Yeah. In a rare interview, yeah, and then her brother did it, but no, I don't think we have an update as to what's going to happen.
Yeah, that is so frustrating.
I have a friend also, because you know how she's also been going on being like, okay, guys, I've read your comments. My favorite movie is blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we're like, Brittany, come on.
So somebody, one of my friends is posting that she's like, I read every single comment. Nobody asked that. But she did say something like along the lines of like, it's frozen because the girl escapes to a castle because she just can't deal. Brittany, I'm so sorry.
That's so I'm so sorry.
It is kind of funny because I remember when I it was like 2 days ago when she posted like to answer your questions, I was like, Brittany's breaking the fourth wall. Like, we're seeing about the conservatorship. And then the questions is just like, what's my favorite takeout? I'm like, okay, right. Brittany's doing an awesome interview right now.
And then it was like, so truly. My skincare routine, a lot of you guys have been asking, and we're like, no, just tell us if you're trapped. Tell us if you need us to save you.
Yeah. Just scream.
I know. I don't want that to become an unsolved mystery that we end up seeing.
I know. So we'll obviously keep posted on that as well. I know we all, I mean, I think we're all invested in our girl Brit. So
I'm invested. I want the best for her, but I also don't know what that is.
I know.
Well, it's a hard thing too, because it tickles so many of our fascination points, because it's like a celebrity from our youth. Crime is involved. Like, Mystique is involved.
It's also like, yeah. She just doesn't seem like herself. And like, it's like, I don't even know who Britney is anymore.
Well, I don't know what herself is.
Casey's like, no, I know my girl.
Yeah.
Listen, because I told you, it's because of my deep obsession with NSYNC, I therefore had to have a love-hate relationship with her. So like, I taped, I have so many things that I used to tape of them. And so I feel like she was something. I'm telling you, even just watching a little bit of that on the record, you just see that she was like, she's all there. She's very, like, she has thoughts, she has opinions. She's like, she's very cognitive of stuff. It's like a little bit wild then to see now. So
are you and Jessica Biel on good terms with her, with Justin?
I mean, listen, I had grown out of my out of my Timberlake phase. I think when he went solo and then he got a little cocky and then he kind of grew out of like the boyish looks. But basically when they get older, I don't like him. And I know that's good.
Yikes.
I can't wait for me and Kate and for me and Sarah to be witnesses saying, on a trial in 10 years. You just lamed us.
No. I just don't like to grow with them, you know? Like after Justin, then I was just like, you know who else is cute? Shia LaBeouf. You know who else is cute? Zac Efron. I just like pop stars. I used to think he was so cute.
Nah. Do you see the picture of him jogging in underwear? A choice.
I mean,
no. But that's there's me working out of my apartment without AC.
Yeah. I mean, truly, truly. But I mean, nobody can deny that Zac Efron is a stone cold babe.
Yeah, he's hot.
I think that's his age.
He's a babe.
Based on unsolved mysteries. Yeah. Is the sky blue?
What he lacks in totally acting or singing ability.
But you know what? No, here's the thing too. I think also, you know, when I was attracted to different people when I was, so I liked Justin when I was like in high school and we were both of the same age. And then, you know, as I grew up, I was like, I'm not as attracted to him anymore, but I really thought we had a chance.
You know, never say never.
As people do. I really thought I was like, yeah, I would listen. I'm not even going to go into the level of like,
Senorita girl.
I know his favorite songs. I knew it's, you know, I was on chat rooms where I knew where they were. Yeah, no. I was pretty, it was like one summer of my life where my parents were like, should we get her out of the AOL chat rooms? Where I was like, are they buying cereal in North Carolina? What kind?
Oh my God.
I mean, I ate exclusively Captain Crunch because that was his favorite cereal. Do you know how hard it is to eat Captain Crunch? It hurts your mouth.
I was going to say, you have no teeth left because of that. Yeah.
It skins the roof of your mouth, but it was Justin's favorite cereal. So I was like, I will learn to like it.
Also, I feel like that was probably secretly like a brand deal he had with them and it wasn't actually his favorite cereal.
Oh yeah. Like a very early brand deal.
Like anyway, saying like
that's
this.
True. Yeah. They paid him.
So glad I grew out of that phase.
Yeah. So, but I haven't watched the Zac Efron Netflix doc yet because I don't totally care about it.
I don't care at all.
Same.
But what we all did watch, but we watched some of it. We're not done with all the episodes. Unsolved Mysteries. It's the revival of it. I kind of want to go back and watch the older ones.
I never did, but apparently it was kind of corny.
Yeah.
They were corny, but they were also like scary. Like I remember watching them as like kids on as a kid on like sleepovers, kind of being like, ugh. Like, cause they are, it's just very like, okay, someone got murdered and that person's still out there. And they always showed like a car driving at night in the dark and you're like, ugh.
Well, that's kind of the thing where you just like end it either you end it angry and scared because nothing is solved, of course. But the reason we're going to be talking about this case, this particular episode, is because they're trying now to maybe solve it officially. So of course we're talking
about. And it doesn't even seem that big of a mystery.
No. Seems very much all the dots are connected. Yeah. So of course we're talking about Alonzo Brooks. So that was episode 4. On Unsolved Mysteries. I want to say the name.
No Ride Home.
No Ride Home, yes. So the details of it will kind of sum up for you guys in case you haven't watched it yet, but I feel like everyone has already messaged us that they have watched these. So Alonzo Brooks was a 23-year-old who lived in Topeka, Kansas, who ended up going missing after attending a party in La Cienega, Kansas, right?
No, I think it's Lacine.
Lacine? Okay. Well, here's my thing. That we'll get into that. That'll
so
be
Danny
my...
didn't watch Unsolved Mysteries because he doesn't know how they pronounced it.
Well, because I remember. Because my main thing, I was like, why did they drive an hour for a party? Because then we'll get
right.
I don't even Kansas. Take the subway an hour for a party, and I can do that drunk.
When I wake up in the middle of the night and have to pee, the bathroom is too far away. I just sit in pain. I'm like, I'm not doing that. But
I feel that.
Yeah, right?
I feel that. I'm like, I have to open 2 different doors. I'm going to just try to sleep.
Loves it open door frozen.
Loves it ever. But it's spelled L-A-C-Y-G-N-E, which would lead someone to say Lacigne. But they said Lacine. I mean, that's just Kansas being like, I mean, should we just throw a couple letters in there?
That's Kansas saying no, why is a vowel?
Yeah.
Sometimes why?
Yeah, sometimes YNW. So his case went cold and closed after he went missing in 2004, but it was heavily highlighted in this episode, of course. So what kind of happened is no one knew what happened to Alonzo Brooks, but I feel like everybody watching it can really connect the dots. We'll get into it. So on April 3rd, 2004, he and some of his friends went to a party in Lacine, which was over an hour away from Topeka. I mean, truly... And also it's an interesting thing too. I mean, I guess this is just the geographical layout of Kansas. When they showed on the map, I was like, oh, it's truly just a desolate drive from A to B. Like they were nothing in between.
Yep.
They said, and also they were kind of talking about hyping up so much how he was in such a good mood when he went to the party. Like kind of, he walked in with a case of beer and was like, hey, who wants a beer? Like very like, kind of like being like the life of the party, having a fun time. And it's important to note, they didn't know a ton of the people at the party. It was sort of just like, one of those parties you hear and you just show up to.
I mean, why they went there and how they found out about it was still not really answered in the Netflix doc. I feel like they all were just kind of beating around the bush, whether it's because they didn't think about it too deeply, they didn't remember, or something more sinister. It was just kind of like, yeah, so we don't know how we ended up here, but we did.
Yeah, and what is the important part of the party is that it was sort of just your standard party until... they started to recount that a lot of racial slurs were being thrown at Alonzo Brooks. And his friends even noted that he was the only Black person at the party and talked about how there were a lot of cowboys there, which I'm just assuming means racist. Like he talked about a lot of I was like thrown off when they were like, oh, you know, it was like the cowboy kind of people. I'm like, what the fuck does
that? That's weird. I also read from like news reports at the time from local outlets that he was maybe one of 3 Black people there. But either way, it was very much not a diverse crowd.
And as the party continues, this is the part that I got so pissed off about, and I feel like y'all agree with me or someone listening agrees with me. His friend started to dissipate and like go out to get cigarettes and kind of leave and dip and left him at the party, which my major PSA is just like, when you go with someone, you take them back. Like, you know what I mean? Especially when you're an hour away from your home with no way home and people are saying racist remarks to your friend at the party.
But I will say, though, if you, you know, watching it, the one guy, I had such anxiety about the guy getting lost in the middle of a field. So his one friend that drove with him, he was going to go buy cigarettes or whatever, and went the wrong way and then was just literally driving nowhere for 30 minutes and then had to go back. Like that I get, that would be like hard, because that was, he wasn't intending to leave him. Like, but that part I get.
That was that. Okay, so according to like a news report I read from Gardner News, which is like some local outlet, I think in Kansas, so one friend first was like, hey, I'm leaving. Do you want to, like, let's go home? And Alonzo was like, no, I want to stay.
Yeah.
So he was like, all right, there's still the one other guy who can take you home.
Yeah.
So then the other guy who goes out to get cigarettes and either like gets in an accident or gets his truck
got lost.
He should have known that it's like, who else is really there? I think he claimed that there was another friend there, but that friend like
the other guy,
doc. And also, he had to, like, if he had to drive out of the way, wouldn't he have to return back in the general direction of the party?
That's the thing I was wondering. And I mean, because I know I was on the Reddit thread for this one, and people were saying, because like my first thing, I was like, 30 minutes for a pack of cigarettes seems kind of insane.
And if you've been partying, why are you going to drive for cigarettes? Whatever. I guess that's
because they're like problems. In the middle of nowhere.
That's what people are saying.
A very different life than any of us have ever.
Yeah, they were saying that like it's actually plausible for like a drunk 20-year-old to drive 40 minutes for a pack of cigarettes in the middle.
Yeah, because all the roads are probably just like an empty straight line.
Yeah,
I mean that's but, what. Yeah, like in the middle of like forest. See, I he said that he called the other friend and was like, oh, tell Alonzo, like, can you give him a ride home? And the friend says that he heard him talking shit in the background. But like, this is where I don't find it that sketchy. I don't, because I mean, I've been drunk at parties and told my friends, like, go. And sometimes they've left and sometimes they've, like, gone and then come back and been like, wait, no. Like, and I've been
You been an hour away in bumfuck nowhere when they've left you?
I mean, not bumfuck nowhere, but I've been, like, but here's the thing,
she's
though.
She's like, I've been to Brooklyn.
It's not necessarily their fault either. It could just me being like, you know, I mean, we've all been drunk and we know when you're like, no, go. Like, you know what I mean? Like at a certain point you just go, fuck it. Like, I mean, I know like an hour, like this is different. Like now we have ways home. There's Uber and stuff like that. But I don't find it that strange that he was partying and like wanted to stay and all that stuff. And that there was like a confusion of that the one last guy that was going to give him a ride home left without that kind of connection being made. I just don't think it's that sketchy. For his friends. I don't think his friends are sketchy.
I think it's bad.
I know. It's interesting.
The one guy who let him stay, that's pretty normal. I feel like that's honestly happens all the time and like par for the course. And even if you think your friend should leave, you can't. If they're an adult, especially as like a 23-year-old, you're not going to insist. You're going to be like, all right, they know what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I think it is probably one of those things where like, in hindsight, I'm judging them, but I don't know if I was in their situation, what I would have done type of thing, I guess.
For sure.
I also think that, like, let's also, and this is just playing devil's advocate, let's also just remember who we were when we were, like, that young. Like, I was not, like, I think we were all not as good of people as we would be now. Like, I would never leave a friend now, but if I was 20 and was like, I'm going home, and somebody was like, I'm going to stay and make out with this guy, I'd be like, bye! You know, like, I mean, like, I think that we all change, and I think that I really don't think that there was shadiness in his friends. I think it was drunk young people. And you know, as we know, there's like, he possibly was making out with a girl. He could have, like, we don't know if like somebody from the party said, oh, I can give you a ride home. But like, we don't know if he checked. We don't know anything, but I just don't think it's that sketchy. I don't think his friends left him on purpose. I think it was just like, I'm going home. I'm going to get drunk. Oh shit. I didn't see him before I left. Was I supposed to take him home? He seemed like he was having a good time. Like, I just don't see malice in his friend.
I'm not saying it's malice, but I feel like the story given is a little
It's a lot. Well, because it's a hard thing too, where I feel like it's part of the course of an unsolved mystery, probably, because you're like, why aren't these dots connecting? I need this, like, in a bow to, like, I need right. clarity.
And, I like, mean, either not... way, I don't think that the friends are responsible.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, so
what happened.
I don't think they are. Yeah. I think that they were just all dumb, drunk kids that were just kind of, like, thinking.
Yeah, I don't think that they were
maybe
involved.
Just themselves.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, of course, yeah. if you guys didn't connect the dots, like, the next day, yeah, it was found out that he never made his way back home. So then the investigation starts, and no one in the party, apparently in the reports was reading, gave a ton of information about what was happening. People were just sort of like, oh, you know, like, oh, weird, weird. But then it started to kind of come out, like Casey was saying, he was making out with a girl, and then he did have an altercation, one of his friends said, with one person in particular. And you kind of, then my brain kind of turns, I'm like, oh, did the guy like the girl? It was like, feel protective of her type of situation. We're not getting answers from that yet, but many people, like his mom, even was saying that she believed it was a pointed racist hate crime because, like the friends were describing, it was a predominantly white party with a lot of quote-unquote cowboys. People were making racist remarks to him, so it kind of, it's not outlandish to jump to the idea of it being a pointed racist crime, even if it's not anybody that was at the party, just in this town itself, if that was kind of the energy or the mentality of the town, you can kind of see how that could connect.
Yeah, because they did feel like that. Like, yeah. There
yeah.
And that, some weird shit going on in the town.
Yeah, and that was even also followed up, reported with the article that Sarah found too, that the person was challenging him to a fight, and someone apparently had a shotgun at the party too, which, I mean, like, again, I know so little about Kansas, I don't know if those are just part of the course, but I'm going to assume that's an interesting situation to happen.
Yeah, and then his one friend, the friend who had initially left first, said that he had spoken to people who said, sorry, it's a little convoluted, but that's what happened, that they last saw Alonzo sprinting away from the party at about 4 a.m. It's a little bit, like, convoluted, but that's what was reported in Gardner News.
And I thought, did you guys think it was interesting? Because they, the family wanted to help look for the son, but the police department, I mean, I guess it's kind of like, because you don't want like 800 people looking for someone at once when it's like an investigation. They're sort of like, oh no, we can take care of it. They found nothing. They didn't listen to any of the, like, not tips, because I mean, no one really knew anything, but the suggestions that the family had, so much so that they ended up passing it to the KBI, which is, I like it. I guess it's like the FBI's little, Southern sister, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah, I think most, like, states have their own
little
agency like that. Like, Georgia has the GBI and California has CBI, I'm pretty sure.
I hope no one has UTIs listening. That's all I can
think. Or maybe if that's not what the California one is called, I think it's something similar. But anyway, no UTIs that we know of.
Yeah, okay, fingers crossed. But after a while, though, no one was able to locate him until... for about a month. So then his body was discovered after family and friends were able to join the search. So then on May 1st, 2004.
I mean, they kind of went rogue is the thing. Like, yeah. they were not getting any answers from the police department. They were basically like, we're on it. Stop bothering us. But they clearly weren't doing anything. So the family pretty much just decided to do their own thing. And shockingly, they found Alonzo, like, not very long after they started to look.
Because that's the thing, it wasn't like he was in some, like secluded, unknown spot that would be so outlandish to search for him. Like, he was very much in a spot that they, even I remember one of the people saying, like, this is an area that we knew to look in to.
Yeah, well, and then that one guy was claiming, he's like, we looked here. He's like, I mean, we would have been able to find him, but it's like, okay, well, but you didn't, so.
Yeah.
What did you do?
So his body ended up being found in a creek that was near the house that threw the party. The examination by Eric Mitchell, who we're going to get into, the postmortem examiner, indicated that Brooks had no broken bones, no signs of blunt force trauma or injury, nor any biological signs of drowning in the lungs, but just kind of had maggots around his neck. Okay. And that's a gruesome fact.
Yeah, he wasn't bloated. Like, he was found by the creek, but, like, nothing in his body indicated that he had ever been in water. And, like, that's the craziest part.
Well, it was so weird
part.
Because the family was like, he looked completely, like, normal, more or less.
Yeah.
And also his mom had said he had like papers and they cash were fine. Cards in his pocket. Yeah.
All of his stuff was fine.
That were intact.
Yep.
But then on the same vein in the same documentary, the medical examiner was like, oh yeah, he was totally in the water for 30 days and like nothing just added up. It was very strange.
Yeah. And, Sarah, do you want to get into why it's kind of interesting, like a little backstory on this medical examiner that makes us kind of eye roll?
Yeah, so here's the thing about the medical examiner. Eric Mitchell, he was in the documentary. He was the medical examiner in this case, or the coroner. He was the medical examiner in Onondaga County, which is in upstate New York, in the early 90s. And in 1993, he got in trouble. There was a prosecutor's investigation that found he routinely removed organs from corpses without consent. He improperly stored skeletons and body parts. While he was the ME, a convicted pedophile got into the ME's office and took photos of himself with a corpse. Morgue employees also took pictures of themselves posing with other victims. So because of this, I mean, he maintained his innocence and whatever. He resigned and left in 1994 after being the ME for 10 years. He, upon his resignation, admitted no wrongdoing. But this kind of all happened while he was there. Super sketch.
Yikes.
So, it's one of those things, too, that it's interesting how many, like, what jobs are different. Like, how can you have all of that happen and, like, not lose your license or still work in the industry that you're working in?
Right, because he didn't go through like to a trial, they just allowed him to resign. So then he also later worked as the Douglas County coroner for over 20 years and also in Wisconsin. Also as a sidebar, but I just thought it was interesting, his misconduct eventually helped contribute to a man in Syracuse, Hector Rivas, winning an appeal in the accused killing of a 28-year-old Valerie Hill in 1987. And it was a whole perfect storm of terrible people who failed him. Like, his attorney was not legit at all. There was exculpatory evidence that came out at the end of the trial, but it still took until 2015 to reverse the verdict. Mitchell's misconduct also factored into this, like, again, perfect storm of this guy completely not getting a fair trial at all. And just to close out my fun sidebar here, sorry guys. He actually died awaiting a retrial. So basically now his estate is suing Onondaga County and claiming that the DA purposely dragged out the retrial until he died. So.
Sucks. Well, they said also like his care, because he had cancer, and they said like the care that he received in there was also like really shitty. But
yeah, that was part of it.
But he died a free man.
$200,000 cash bail while awaiting his retrial. So he tragically died in prison while awaiting retrial for a crime that he probably didn't commit. I think according to the law now, they say he's like innocent.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I think it says like technically by the law, he died a free man.
Well, right. That's, yeah, but could have been a lot smaller. Yeah, right? Yeah,
so that's just a sidebar about this Emmy and how much weight we should put into what he said.
Right, and that's also just a little tidbit about the cash bail system, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back to Alonzo, I mean, a good thing is, you know, because this case was so weird and they couldn't find anything that showed that he was, like, you know, there was no real physical things. They couldn't figure out the time of death. They couldn't figure out how he died. They couldn't figure out any of this stuff. They essentially sent a letter to the family in 2019 that was like, we're closing this. We don't think he was the victim of a case. We think it's just he died. Like, because remember they kept claiming that he just ran away without his shoes and all this weird stuff. Like,
yeah, but
They just blamed him the entire time. Yeah, he had an ankle injury, and they just kept being like, "No, he just ran home." And like, this is one of the things that like pisses me off when you watch these things is that like, you know, people know their kids, like, you know, and that's why like they always say like moms with babies, like even if it's like just a cry or something, like the moms can hear the like smallest inch, like I know my kid and I know that there's something wrong. And I feel like people never listen to that, like doctors and best, like all these people, like kind of always. Like, they always think they know better when it's like, hey, no. Like, have you guys ever gotten your blood drawn?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, right? Every single time I tell them, it's my left arm. Every single time I go, this is the one. And every single time they try the right arm and poke me and get nothing. And then,
yeah, that happens to me, except with my hand, because my veins are too small and they never believe me.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, I know that you're the professional, but I do know myself and I do know the things attached to me, you know. Go ahead, Danny.
I was going to say, and also how the police handled this case, and I'm sure you guys would agree too, reminded me a lot of when we were doing the missing white woman syndrome episode, where because this was just like a 23-year-old black man at a party. No one is really reporting about it. The police aren't like sending out flare guns or getting like the town involved. They're sort of just like, we'll check it. We'll investigate.
I think this is a lot more sinister than missing white woman syndrome and like a lack of exposure. So that's like my personal take.
Ooh. Well, because there was like that whole thing in the apparently they did. They interviewed people. They put a bunch of people through lie detector tests.
Yeah, five people,
some people refused. They got, they lawyered up or whatever. But what was wild to me is how many theories there were, and there were people within the town being like, oh, I know a guy. Like, how could you not follow up like on that stuff? Like, these people being like, there's a freezer. We know whose freezer it is, blah, 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 blah. They were waiting until the cops stopped. Like there was like all this shit that the cops were just not taking seriously. And especially when his mother, when they were like, he's probably walking around, and his friend was like, without his shoes. And then his mother being like, I know my son, he comes home. And then every single person in his family being like, he doesn't stay. So for them to just like dismiss it, I just think is like, it's so like, I just think so many things could be preventable. And I get it. I know that they can't like jump on everybody's, you know, whatever, but it's like, I just wish things were taken more seriously when they happened, you know, like
that
possibly, or, you know, in this case, like I said, it could be more sinister. Like they maybe just didn't care.
Yeah. I think they actively didn't want to solve it.
Because they don't want to, they knew what happened and something like that, and they just didn't want to connect the dots.
I can discuss my vague theory at the end.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. I would say, also like small town Kansas, I'm sure that they're all connected. Like, it's like, oh, Lori's boy was at that party. Don't talk to, you know, something we like, you know how small town shows.
Yeah. And like, if you guys listen to the Up and Vanished podcast, did you listen to that one?
I didn't.
It was really good, but it was also about like a small town in Georgia and this like beauty queen went missing. There wasn't a race aspect, but there was this aspect of like, it was a not well-kept secret for years. And there's this mentality of just like people protecting each other and stuff like that.
That's like, it kind of is like, we're our group. We're going to cover. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And what is interesting, I mean, now, because like Casey said, they opened it up and the FBI
they
announced.
Did. Yeah. So that's one good thing that this show is hopefully doing for these cases is.
I think they opened it a year ago.
They opened it a year ago, but then after it came out, this was like
when did they open it? Because I know that in March of 2019 is when they said they were closing it. So then they opened it a little bit later. Yeah, March, because they got, the family got a letter in March of 2019 that said, we're closing this case.
I think that's what they wanted to do. Because the episode was coming out, because when they were producing it last year, I think that's when they started to reopen it because of all the
Interviews
and stuff
that
makes
sense.
The attention.
Yep.
And then when it came out, when the episode came out like this past month, that's when was being flooded with theories and ideas and connections, stuff like that. So when it was more from the people coming forward being like, oh, this could be an option, something like that. So now it's actually getting the respect, or not even the respect, but the attention it deserves.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that there people are taking it seriously, because the FBI did announce that they would offer a $100,000 reward for any party goer with more information. And you'd think that somebody would cut, like, something has got to come. Something has got to come from this.
16 years later, too. I mean, it's sort of like whoever you are hiding or covering up, like, what are you trying to, like, there's nothing to do that now for.
Yeah. And obviously those are the questions that kind of like remain unsolved. Like, what was the cause of his death? How long had his body been there? Was somebody, or was it somewhere else before it was by the creek where the authorities say that they did look and that they would have seen it? Yeah. Was there a cover up? Was it racially motivated? There's just like so many things. Mirror is the,
For what it's worth, I think, I don't know when Unsolved Mysteries came out, but it looks like in June, the FBI reopened it and classified the case as a hate crime.
I feel like it came out in June.
I want to say it came out like the
Okay, so maybe it actually was because of the attention it got from Unsolved Mysteries. Let me add that.
Love it.
Yeah.
So
especially, I mean, because like when they, because when Unsolved Mysteries announced like the trailer, I think they announced like what they were going to be, the cases they were going to be doing in June,
yeah.
And it came out early July. And I think because when the trailer came out and they talked about this case they were doing, this is the one that got the most reaction from the audience.
I feel like because it seems so clearly not a mystery and it's just like someone knows what happened.
Or a few people.
And a few, yeah. At least one person knows what happened and somebody needs to say something.
Yeah. And it seems like there's also like other people, like professionals that are trying to weigh in as well, because they got a tip from an entomologist that said that she was looking at the photos of Alonzo's clothing and the maggots that were on the clothing and said that you can really tell a story of how long a body's been exposed. So maybe we'll get some information with that.
Oh, interesting.
But obviously, you know, as this case has been reopened, they also exhumed his body to reexamine it, to really check it out. Because it seems, seems like they just kind of poo-pooed it and were like, you know, even though the family was like, he looked fine, but just dead. So there's no way that he was in the water, all this stuff. So,
yeah. And from what I remember, I did this interview with like a few retired, like NYPD detectives, investigators, about their like smiley face killer theory. And they said that if someone has been in water for 30 days, like their body will
be
unrecognizable. And they won't look like they just died yesterday.
Well, that's like, unfortunately, when they were talking about Naya Rivera, when they found her, that for even from 4 days, the body was dramatically different.
The fact that his
wallet was fine, all his stuff wasn't waterlogged. Because I mean, the mom shows that even 15 years later, it's still like intact. The fact that none of that stuff was like damaged by water should be the number one thing to be like, he was never in the water.
It was
he
paper.
Was somewhere. It was paper. It was
paper. I don't need to be a freaking like Kansas Bureau investigator to
know
that papers would get
like
damaged in water if they were there.
We've all had a wallet running to get like a slice of pizza at a place, and then even in the wallet from that 5 minutes in the rain, your dollars are soaked. So
my phone can't even survive getting dropped in the toilet for 1 second.
I know, and that's as
like,
long as
no
it
way.
Should only be in there for 1 second.
Wait, but Sarah, what was your theory that you wanted to touch on?
Oh, I mean, it's not even my theory. It's just like, if you guys want more info, I would just recommend you go on Unsolved Mysteries on Reddit. And obviously you have to take that with a grain of salt, because like, you can't really prove who actually grew up in the area, who claims to have grown up, unless you go through their search history, or their post history. But basically the theory is kind of that there's this predominant family in the town. It's a small town. So like, even if you're no one, even if like in real terms, you are not anything in a small town, you could have power. So this like
famous in a small town. Yes.
Yeah. This basically the theory is that these members of this influential family were involved and basically just that their influence runs deep in this town. And so that's why the investigation wasn't taken seriously. That's why people haven't come forward. That's just the theory.
And that,
I mean, I'm inclined to believe something like that.
I believe that too. And then that also kind of explains, because of what we know about the medical examiner now, he strikes me as someone who can be paid off. And I know when I was reading on the Reddit thread too, everyone was saying, how can there be no foul play? But like the neck had such a injury and like wounds that maggots were only around the neck. So it wasn't like the full body decomposing. Cause like that was what really struck out to me. So I like jumped on there too. I'm like, so something had to have happened, particularly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor. What he had said in the,
I am one. No.
Right. Danny is one. No, but what he had said in the documentary, which I was like, okay, that seems semi-reasonable, was like how he just said, like, he couldn't tell one way or another. So it wasn't like he said he died of natural causes. That would be a super red flag. He just had said basically that from the information that he gathered, he could not conclude.
Yeah, he had big like Miss Cleo magic eight ball energy where he's just like, I don't know. Like, and I'm like, I didn't know that that was like I didn't know that was like a answer for that type of job, that you could just be like, okay. Yeah.
Wait, Sarah, did you ever, because I know we mentioned that he was, yeah, getting friendly with a girl, and that was one theory too, that some people,
yeah, so the girl was involved, like, in this, the girl. In this
was
theory.
She, did you ever find out her identity on Reddit?
Yes, but I'm not going to say, because I'm sure okay. that would get me in a whole slew of legal trouble.
But was she, like, interviewed and stuff?
That I don't know.
So wild, yeah, because apparently he was, like, making out and possibly hooking up with a chick. But, yeah, again, like, we, like, it's just somebody absolutely knows something. And also, like, they found his shoes and his hat kind of in separate places. Like, were those ever fingerprint? Did they ever do anything with
know.
Those?
Or think,
were they
yeah, just,
like,
because
it was his
was
friend.
Found-
And his friend found them. Like, it wasn't yeah. the, like, his friend was like, oh, I'm going to go. Like, that's why, like, this whole thing is so crazy that they're like, we found nothing. We don't know anything. When it's like a friend found his shoes and hat and his family found his body. So, like, what did they actually do?
That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. Was
that's why
it anything?
I don't think it was general incompetence. I think it was
intentional.
Purposeful.
I think it was, what's that subreddit? Oh my God. It's like malicious noncompliance or something like that.
Ooh.
It's a fun subreddit, but anyway.
I also was gonna say that could be like a drag name in a sense too. Like a
yeah,
fun.
So I don't know. This yeah. this to me is interesting because I think it really did remind me a lot of the Up and Vanish podcast, because it just seems like a situation where people know what happened. People have stayed silent to protect each other, and like this is my theory. But it does seem that with increased pressure and national attention, I think that someone is going to crack. And I hope that they do.
I hope so too. And I also feel like so much time has passed that whatever power that was over, like superseding, like someone, a feather must have been ruffled somehow, somewhere in this, the past 16 years with, if it was this rich family, that like someone would talk. I hope.
Yeah. Like what, like, yeah, I want to know, I need to know more backstory. I need to know why this kid, like, I want to know what, if this family is involved, like, why this kid?
Yeah.
Or were they just,
I mean,
like,
I think it, yeah, I feel like it's just really a trying racist to, town.
Yeah.
Being You're like, talking don't about come the middle of nowhere, town. Kansas. There are a bunch of white people.
Called cowboys.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I believe that it was a hate crime.
I do as well.
Do you now? Do you think there's things that, you know, a couple of, like, you know, the theories that they had were that it was something gone wrong, like it was an act, like they accidentally killed him and then they just were trying to, like, cover it up. Like, do you think it was a purposeful murder? Do you think it was like they were trying to, like, they were fucking with him and maybe they like did something to his neck and then were like, oh shit, we accidentally killed him. Like, what do we think about that? And this weird freezer theory that there was a
that
freezer
matters.
Somewhere that he was kept in for
the white, front freezer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really think that matters because I think at the end of the day, whatever caused the altercation feels like it was race motivated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true. That's true. But I mean, I definitely, seeking out to murder someone feels a little bit more harsh than being like thinking that you're just kicking someone's ass and accidentally killing them. Both race motivated, they would both suck, but I think, like, I just, with an intention to hurt or an intention to kill, I do think is different. Do you know what I mean?
Who knows?
Yeah, no,
who knows? A,
who knows?
Who knows? All we know is that he didn't live, and that sucks.
I know.
But, I wonder what I want to know what the backstory is there that happened. Did they think that they were just, or were they trying to fucking kill him?
Yeah.
They being whoever it is that did this. Because it's clearly not.
Because we all
he didn't,
can agree.
He didn't
we don't
wander somewhere
that he
and
just
die.
Ran away.
Yeah.
If he didn't take off his shoes.
With no shoes.
Go full Midsommar, and you know what I mean? Like,
no. Yeah. He wasn't like, yeah, he wasn't running, yeah, throwing shoes and hats everywhere and then just running into a creek. Like,
starting a
somebody
new
did something to him.
Yeah.
I maybe almost believe that one more. I maybe almost believe that it was a racially motivated, they were trying to just like kick his ass and accidentally killed him and then just had to like figure out and then were like, didn't know what to do. To me, it sounds like they wanted to rough him up. There was an altercation there and the possibility that someone was pissed that he was making out with this chick. I do think that there was violence, but I think that the death might've been accidental.
Mm.
But then
I'm on an interested thing where I'm like, if you are attacking someone,
yeah, it doesn't matter to me what your intentions crime, are.
It's sort of like you did, like done. You did it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's right like, if they didn't mean to kill him, but I just think that I it feels to me like it was an accident. Mm-hmm. Like they were fucking with him, but I feel like it was probably an accidental death.
I sort of look at like then accidental deaths in two different ways, where if it's like two friends playing and then God forbid, like they hit someone, that's an unfortunate situation. But if you're just like wanting to leave someone on the verge of death and then they die, that's more intentional in my mind too.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's gross. It's absolutely gross. But I like, there's part of me that feels like somebody wasn't like, I'm going to kill him. I think it was like, it feels like it'd be something that like multiple people would be like, let's go fuck with him or let's go do something stupid to him. And then.
Well, that's the hard thing about this series this just happened. In general too, because like you just finished the episode of it. You go down a rabbit hole. You just get angry and you get sad. And then you're like, so what now? Yeah. So
that's the whole show.
It's the whole show.
Except for the one with, oh my God, I think it was the second or third episode.
Oh, the Carol Baskin.
Oh, wait, I haven't watched.
Fine, but it's not really, fine, cover your ears. Where the guy who like sleeps with the woman's ashes, that one is so not a mystery.
That, girl, there's mysteries in it, but that is
a, yeah. But that's not the mystery. Yeah. That's a wild one.
That is a wild one. We have to jump into that one.
That would be an interesting time for sure. But as far as this goes, I am hopeful, and I hope I'm not just being naive, but I'm kind of hopeful that we're going to get answers.
Yeah, that someone will come forward for that money.
I mean, if you look on Reddit,
because clearly their conscience hasn't affected them yet. It's been 16 years.
And also, maybe money will help. I was reading this blog called like Cold Case Kansas, and people in the comments of that blog are like spilling all the beans, people on Reddit. So I just, if these people are who they say they are and they know what they claim to know, I am hoping thinking that one of them will go to an authority.
Yeah. Like how powerful is this family that many people are scared? Like what is like, why are you scared to,
that's the thing. It's to powerful, but it's like
admit that you know somebody
powerful.
Was murdered. I know. Right? But it's like what will happen to you if you say
the thing is, like,
that boy
if you
was
live
killed?
In a, yeah. I mean, the thing is, if you live in a small town, I feel like the stakes are higher because there's less places to hide.
Right. Cause it's like,
if you piss off the wrong person, yeah. It can make your life a lot worse.
Cause if you piss off someone in like, on the Upper East Side, that's fine with me. I live in Brooklyn. But like, if you piss someone off on like Street A and Lacine, they, and also because there's less power because they're the main power of everything. So like they kind of call the shots. It's very Succession, or it's very, I'm kind of getting like also True Blood. I mean, you know, there's a lot.
But again, that's just a theory. It's popular on Reddit. Makes perfect sense to me. Mm-hmm.
If you guys have any theories of your own after watching it or that you saw on Reddit, always put them in the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group. Join it. I love now everyone joins it because they're like, you guys don't shut the fuck up about it. Yeah, it's a fun group. It's a fun ass group.
Hey, then we're effective in our little plugs.
We're effective.
I can't be mad.
Yeah.
Also, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Any less than that, we don't want it.
Taylor has 5 stars on our new album. The least we are as good as folklore, I would say. You know, give us.
Wow, that's a hefty claim. Really building us up.
We're building.
We also work hard to perfect our craft.
Yes.
Yes.
Bonnie Bear was in this episode. Just he was very quiet. He's very shy. I know Bonnie Bear is like 5 people. They're kind of like something like that. But you know, they're being shy right now.
But if you listen really carefully, you can hear.
Yeah. If you heard Casey's food get delivered, that was from Bonnie Bear.
Wait, I did not hear that.
Grocers. Oh, I have like the loudest buzzer in New York City, and I didn't know we had like a food delivery coming, and it's like, wah, wah, and then I had to go meet him and like take this out, and he started whispering, and I was like,
that's our Easter
egg. Little Friday fun. If you heard my buzzer 3 times, then an angel gets its wings.
Ooh, and be sure to, of course, follow the podcast on Instagram, NATC Pod. You know, that's. We're a fun time. We're a fun time all around on every platform. You can follow Sarah Lamime.
Thank you.
Casey, Caseface with a B. So Caseface B.
Caseface B.
And I'm Kashmir Danny Kashmir with a K. And that's, we're your 3 Musketeers.
Oh my God, we are.
The Murder Musketeers.
the three Murder Musketeers.
of crime.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
No, sorry. Take it back.
All right. Well, we're going to go. Yeah.
Bye. I gotta go watch the other episodes.
Well, yeah, I gotta go
watch episode 2, and I need to watch the French one. I've heard that one's really
good. Apparently the French one is wild.
And our producer's yelling at us to wrap it the fuck
up. Me and Sarah are gonna build our defense because Casey said that she likes young people in this episode, and we gotta go.
No, I said I don't like
Casey,
the young ones.
Go.
I get older. I also grow.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
I also grow.
Betches.